Hello, hello, happy holidays. Welcome to the 15th episode of Upon Further Review. I am Soren Fanning, world historian here at Robert Morris. Anthony Moretti is on assignment, which is a wonderful, fancy, official way for saying he's homesick. So, but on assignment sounds better. But thankfully, I am not carrying the load alone. We have once again our buddy, our pal, and apiculturalist extraordinaire, look it up, Michaeline Kane. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Soren.
Absolutely. And of course, we are assisted by our technical wizard and the voice in our heads, Mr. John Rowland. How are you doing?
Sleepy. Very sleepy.
Okay. Well, we'll try to fix that. Well, I don't know. Perhaps it is, but we are experiencing a few technical difficulties, but John is here and he will labor through that. And, you know, if he falls asleep, we'll just gently nudge him when our half hour is up, or we'll go over either way.
For everyone who couldn't hear me, the answer was sleepy and my microphone has decided not to work. So I have to look into that.
Well, and thank you for soldiering through. And by the way, speaking of things not working terribly well, We have much to talk about this week.
We do.
So we will start with probably the least serious of all of these. I don't know about you, but I love the Olympics. The Olympics are a sporting event I love, not least of which because once every 2 years is about my maximum attention span for sports.
That's a very valid point.
I mean, I can handle that.
Get on board with that.
You know, I mean, I grew up watching baseball and I'm saying, are you keeping up with baseball? No, there are 162 games. I don't have that kind of an attention span.
Nope.
And I'm sorry, I don't know if you enjoy baseball, but
nope.
Going to the ballpark is fun because it's basically a picnic with something to watch. But watching it on TV is agonizing. It's essentially, I will say this, baseball is fun to see in person and a superb insomnia cure otherwise.
I just don't want to spend 3 hours waiting for 3 minutes of action.
Right. Yeah.
That's beyond my time frame.
Yeah. So once every 2 years, the Olympics comes. I actually prefer the Winter Olympics to the Summer Olympics. I don't know. Do you have a preference?
I like the Summer Olympics because they have the equestrian.
Ah, yes.
The horse. Yeah. Stuff is the only thing that I get into.
Although you're going to have to explain to me, how on earth is dressage an Olympic event?
Those are very high technicality moves that you see. The dressage horses on the Olympics have spent years training probably every bit of 40 hours a week with those people to make them.
I think the
move
horse should get the medal
way.
And not the rider.
The horses are worth millions of dollars.
I don't know. Just when you first hear about dressage, it's like, what is this, horsey dress-up? I mean, what is this? But
Eddie Izzard has a fantastic skit on dressage, like who came up with this. And then he like dances and he's like, the horse is trying to sneak into the house. but it's based on the war horses that used to do battles with their leaders and everything like that. The combat moves, that's what dressage came from.
Ah, okay. Well, I can certainly... Now, unfortunately, like many events, we usually don't get to see dressage.
No.
Of the equestrian. Favorites are the field events, like hammer throw, javelin, discus.
Oh, those are good to watch, too. Yeah.
And they're never shown. So what we get during the 10 days of the Olympics is a lot of diving, a lot of beach volleyball, way too much beach volleyball. Like, you know, once every 4 years is almost too soon. You know, I think I'm good beach volleyball wise for at least another six. And then, of course, track.
Yeah.
And gymnastics.
Lots of it.
But in the winter, I don't know, for some reason, they have curling. I'm addicted to curling. I don't know what it is. Have you ever watched curling?
I can't help you with that.
It's ice shuffleboard, and you'd think that sounds absolutely ghastly, but it is riveting.
I'm glad you feel that way.
I do.
I do not share your enthusiasm.
Okay, well, that's fair. It's also the only Olympic event I could conceivably participate in. So, however, the Olympics will be short at least one participant
in three months.
As much as teams are looking forward to sending their people 30 miles from the border with North Korea, that ought to be fun. But yes, the Russians have been expelled from the Winter Olympics for doping.
Yep.
So I'm curious to get your opinion on this. Now, first of all, it's against the rules. They clearly broke it.
Yep.
You know, there's really no question about this. But this is the question I have. Should the sort of human growth hormone performance enhancing drugs, should they be allowed?
I think it will become an interesting topic in the next couple of years because you have the transgender community.
Right.
And so there are things that are medically necessary. They just have to be worked out. This is new territory
right.
for everybody involved. But for the time being, the rules are what they are.
Right.
And until they're changed, it's not fair to make exclusions.
Oh, I agree. And bear in mind, cheating goes back all the way to the original Olympics in ancient Greece.
Yep.
Now, granted, I mean, in that case, it was more like, you know, paying off an oracle so the gods would like you. And, you know, it's got a questionable success rate at best. But, you know, everyone cheated.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, cheating has been part of sports since time immemorial. But this is the first time a major country, you know, one of the big, and especially a Nordic country, or northern country, I should say, you know, that has a tremendous history in the Winter Olympics has actually been kicked out.
Yeah. And Russia has so many months of winter that that's all they do.
Oh, right. It's kind of, you know, this the standard joke. The comedian John Oliver had this, is that the only reason we have the Winter Olympics is that so countries like Norway can occasionally go in and stock up on medals.
Yep.
So, but I'm still going to be watching. I still enjoy the Winter Olympics. Although I must say, and I don't know how you feel about this, for me, the sports I can watch are the ones that are settled either with a scoreboard or a clock or something like that. The judged events I can't stand.
No.
Well, just it's so subjective.
It is.
It's, yeah, I don't know. I don't like it. But then again, apparently I'm an old fuddy-duddy.
Well, I can see there's a lot of ambiguity. And there's always room for error and bribes.
Right.
And
not that that's ever been part of the Olympic tradition.
No.
Yes. Or any other major competition. I mean, you know, the World Cup is going to be played in Qatar. Qatar. Which apparently the FIFA decided, I wonder what would happen if we made a bunch of soccer teams play on a pitch at about 120 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh.
Let's find out. I can only presume that Qatar's bid to host the World Cup consisted on a whole stack of banker's bonds wrapped with like a little chocolate heart on top.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think must be it. But from cheating in the Olympics to a whole different kind of misconduct, we have big news. And I definitely wanted to have you here, Michaeleen, because when you talk about, we've had something of a sea change in public awareness
mm-hmm.
of sexual harassment ever since the Me Too phenomenon
yes.
Hit. Right now, John Conyers, who has been in the U.S. Congress since basically George Washington was president, and I'm only slightly exaggerating, has announced his retirement from the Congress as a result of allegations, credible allegations of sexual assault and harassment. Senator Al Franken is rumored to be on the cusp of quitting.
Yep.
He has so far received calls to resign from 30 of his 48 Democratic colleagues in the Senate. And that's including seven that came out all within an hour of each other yesterday,
wow.
led by New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, which has led to a number of interesting things. So my first question to you would be, do you think this is appropriate that people who are accused, like, for example, in Conyers' case, these go back, you know, it's a series of women, I believe, four or five stretching back 20 years.
Yeah.
In the case of Senator Franken, the accusation count is now up to seven.
Yeah.
Do you feel these people should step down?
I do.
Okay.
I think that politicians have been crooked since the dawn of time, but with the technology and the social views, like, people can see things now.
Right.
And it's a lot easier to distribute information to mass audiences. They're being held to a higher standard, and they're not adapting to this accountability for their mm-hmm. actions. They're used to the way that things always were. I do what I want.
Right. I mean, that's the way things pretty much always had run up until this point.
Right.
And, you know, and I think it's interesting in the sense, you know, you mentioned how, you know, running things the way they've always been done. I think one of the problems we're running into now is that for the first time, really in popular consciousness, the first instinct is to believe the accuser.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important change.
Definitely.
What I'm struck by is you have, you know, slime balls like Harvey Weinstein are done. Okay. Comedian Louis C.K. might be done. You know, we don't know. It's too early to tell, but yeah. Certainly there's going to be a long road back. So in the entertainment industry, you're done. Matt Lauer is done 6 ways from Sunday.
Yeah.
Conyers and Franken either have quit or presumably are on the verge of quitting. Yet, there's a special election in Alabama in 5 days in which not only is the Republican candidate an accused child molester, let's just call it what it is.
It is.
But not only has this person been endorsed by the president, who, by the way, has no less than 19 counts.
Yeah.
Charges, accusations of sexual harassment and against him. But the Republican National Committee 3 days ago started funding his campaign again. For those of you who couldn't see, this was an epic and silent wow, and not the good kind that came from my friend and colleague over here.
No.
And it seems to me, and this is now granted, and I haven't gotten into, you know, Blake Farenthold and other people, but it seems to me that we're in a situation where the only commonalities the president and Roy Moore have with each other is that everyone else admits to wrongdoing. They still deny it.
Yeah. My mom said the other day, which was a very poignant moment for me, if nothing else comes from this disaster of a presidency, at least the women have stood up and gone, you know what, this is not okay.
Right.
We are not going to take this anymore. The things that he said on the bus, the just him in general, if his presidency was necessary to start this movement so that women can feel safe at work and at school and everywhere, then maybe in some minuscule way it was worth it.
sort of cultural chemotherapy in a way.
I think that his behavior emboldened women to be like, you know what? I've had enough.
Yeah, we're just done.
I'm just done. This was the straw that broke the camel's back, and we've all just had it. This is you've gone too far, and we're pushing back.
Well, and you know, first of all, you know, the sad truth is, I fully expect Alabama to elect Roy Moore on next Tuesday. Although, I freely admit I'm cribbing this joke, but I think it's just so appropriate. I think Mr. Moore's going to have a hard time finding a place to vote, seeing as he's not allowed within 500 feet of a school.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a little problematic. So there's two things I wanted to bring up. One is just for the immediate ramifications. For my money, there a poll came out and they said that 72% of Republicans in Alabama do not believe the accusers, which to me, just for me, signifies that this is tribalism run amok.
Yes.
Including, by the way, 53% of Alabama women who are registered Republicans.
That's frightening.
This is the place we live in, which to me makes Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, his decision to sort of throw his hands up in the air and say, well, if he's elected, we're going to have to seat him, even more repugnant because he came out and said, I believe the women. And now he's supporting this guy.
You would know much better than I would. What would it take to unseat him if he is elected?
In theory, the Senate could expel a member. Now, we haven't done that since roughly the time of the Civil War.
Yeah.
But McConnell has already floated the idea of an ethics committee investigation.
Okay.
So, I mean, there is a possibility, but all that takes time. In the interim, Moore would be seated. He'd be on committees. He'd be voting. You know, I just, hopefully they, Hopefully someone explains the concept of irony and they don't seat him on the Women's Health Committee. Oh. That's my hope. But, I mean, now we may be surprised. I mean, Doug Jones, has put the Democrat in the race, has put in a big campaign. He's raised a lot of money. He's gotten support even from Republicans outside of Alabama.
Okay.
Excuse me. And I do know that Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey is going down to campaign for him because in a lot of ways, one of the things that any Alabama Democrat, if they're going to win a statewide, a statewide race, they need the black community to turn out in large numbers.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to happen there. Now, there's a general question, though, I have, regardless of what happens in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Just a moment. I'm sorry. Apparently my throat has decided to go on strike. So, you know, it's that time of year.
It is.
It's December. It's snowing outside now.
It is. It's beautiful.
It is pretty. By the way, have you noticed the snow is only pretty until like January 2nd?
Yeah.
And then on January 3rd, we're all over it.
Oh, yeah.
It could just go away. But yes, right now it does look actually quite beautiful out there. But now that my throat's working again. So... And one of the reasons I wanted you on here is I am uncomfortable asking this question as someone who owns and operates a Y chromosome. But I believe it needs to be asked. Are we running the risk, at least if you're not a Republican politician who denies it, that the accusation is now becoming essentially a conviction? That's my concern.
That's a valid concern.
Right.
And I hope... in the deepest of my soul, that women will not use this movement as a platform for personal vendettas.
Settling scores, that sort of thing.
Gains, yeah. Anything like that. That would be so counterproductive. It is a possibility, but I hope that it is not probable.
Right. You know, that is the hope.
That's my best take.
I still don't think we're there yet, though. I mean, if you look at these high profile individuals,
mm-hmm.
Both inside and outside of politics, you know, Charlie Rose famously, you know, you had something like 9 accusations. You know, I actually stood by Al Franken when it was 1 and he apologized and welcomed an investigation. And the woman who accused him said she accepts his apology and didn't think he should resign. At that point, I'm like, okay, if that's all there is, I'm fine with him staying.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, since then, 6 more people have come out. So clearly, all right, this is not an isolated instance with Conyers. It's not an isolated instance. I would argue, you know, one should not probably, a lone accusation should probably not spell the end of your career in life.
It's going to entirely depend on evidence and the whole scope.
Right.
Of the picture.
Now, do you think age of the accused makes any difference at all? And I want to preface this by saying I am in no way justifying any kind of sexual harassment or sexual assault. So I'm putting, and it's kind of a sad commentary on our society that I have to put that caveat out there.
Yeah.
But I'm going to put that out there in the sense that one of the things Franken said kind of struck me is when he said he couldn't guarantee no one else would come out and asked why, he said, well, up until this person came out, I had no idea anyone would ever accuse me of that, which means either he's a pathological liar, which I'm a little dubious about, or he genuinely, and this might be more frightening, did not realize that squeezing parts of women's bodies would make them uncomfortable. So I guess my question is, for someone, say, born before 1970, let's say,
mm-hmm.
The culture in which they grew up.
Yeah.
You know, as the old joke goes, my uncle told this, so, you know, I'd say blame him, but he died in 95, so he's off the hook. He, you know, who once famously said, you know, if you're an Irish Catholic from Boston, a drinking problem isn't a problem. It's called Tuesday. you know, depending on when you grew up, given the tolerance for what, you know, what constituted assault in, say, 1968... is heinous by our standards. What constitutes harassment in 2017 was called Wednesday in 1970. Do you think that cultural shift needs to be taken into account? Not in the sense of, justifying behavior, but rather explaining it.
I understand where you're coming from.
And this is an honest question. I don't know the answer.
And my take on that is no.
Okay.
It's not okay that you were raised to look, let's use a different example.
Sure.
That, you know, you were raised to call people names that are culturally insensitive.
Right.
It is not okay in this day and age for you to call people names that are ridiculous and ignorant, and you need to be called out for that behavior. Correct. This is 2017. It is not okay to grope people who did not welcome your advances or to harass them in the workplace. So I understand where you're coming from as an...
That was an honest question because it's not something I know the answer to.
Absolutely. As an underlying explanation of behavioral characteristics from a psychological point of view, but especially for people in the public eye, that from this moment forward will no longer be tolerated.
Right. I think it's also incumbent for these people to remember. Incumbent, see what I did there. I think it's important for them to remember that if you are elected to a position of public trust, by definition, you are setting yourself up for a higher standard of conduct.
Absolutely.
Than if you are, well, in Al Franken's case, and I'm not saying comedians should be able to get away with it, but it's a completely different scenario. And you have to understand it's a different world once you enter public life. Or I'll give you an example from my own life. You know, I'm a college professor now. I used to be a high school teacher. Mm-hmm. Well, high school teachers can't conduct themselves, for example, the way a construction site foreman would.
No.
And this is, you know, not to cast aspersions on our fine construction professionals in this country, but let's face it, there are different workplace standards. Especially, you know, if you're working with children all day long.
Absolutely.
You know, you have to hold yourself to that higher standard. So, yeah, I agree. I think we're at something of a watershed moment. The hope is that we can use this, and I use the analogy, and you seem to like it, so I'll use it again, this sort of national chemotherapy.
Yeah.
In a way to get this all out in the open. And set clear boundaries, what is acceptable, what is not acceptable, and move forward from there.
Yeah.
Now, that said, there is, of course, you know, when you talk about politics, there is sort of the inside baseball competition aspect to it. And some people, I caught, for want of a better term, King Hell on Facebook a few weeks ago.
Okay.
About a week and a half ago, when I actually said, once the fourth accuser came out, that Al Franken should resign.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, and listen, up until this point, I really liked Al Franken. I, you know, agreed with his positions. I admired him. And it was hard for me, but it was sort of my, you know, say it ain't so, Joe moment. And I got criticized by the people who said, well, look, if we are going to force out our lawmakers, meaning Democrats, this is a Democrat making the statement, but the Republicans keep theirs in, isn't that sort of one-sided disarmament?
Yeah.
So I'm sort of curious as to your take. Should the political calculus at all enter into this?
Do you mean whether they're a Democrat or a Republican?
Well,
or?
No, not so much in that, but should the political calculus of, yes, on the one hand, this is behavior we're going to condemn. On the other hand, though, do we really want to, you know, lose that extra seat or two? Now, personally, my view on this. So I'll preface, because I'm not neutral in this, is that if you're going to claim to have the moral high ground, you have to hold it when it's inconvenient.
Absolutely.
So, but I guess the question is, what do you do in a situation where one side is holding their lawmakers to account and the other side is not?
Change the status quo. It needs to be, a lot of the things that you and I talk about, Soren, are about equality.
Right.
And equality is not negotiable. So it doesn't really matter if it's on the wrong side of the fence.
It's on the wrong side.
It's got to go.
Yeah. No, I do agree with you. So we are running out of time, but seeing as we might have one more broadcast and then that'll be it until January, are you doing anything fun for the holidays?
No, I'm just having...
Oh, that sounds sad.
I'm just having a wonderful time with my family. How about you?
So it is something fun.
Oh, yeah. But I'm not going. It's nothing out of the ordinary. I'm not going on a trip or anything like that. It's just the usual wonderful time with my family, who I really love.
Yeah. The Fanning clan is heading down to Williamsburg, Virginia. Nice. So we're going to be at historical Williamsburg for, it's one of those living museums. So, John, you doing anything fun for the holidays?
Work. So, no.
Ah. Well, I'm sorry. Well, at least you'll get money, whereas the rest of us are paying it.
For me, it's the fact that I won't have any tests this week. After this week, after this, life's going to be great. Life not so much.
Well, yeah, we are coming up on finals week, so that's always the
finals. I'm not concerned about. It's only today, actually. After today, I'll be a mostly happy camper.
Oh, okay. What time's your test, if I may ask?
2:00 and 3:45.
Okay, so for
the one thing that makes my one at 3:45 acceptable, though, is that it's a makeup. So if I do worse than last time, it just doesn't change my grade.
Oh, that's you know where the floor is, so that's good.
Yeah, so I have a minimum performance. So, I mean, it's not crucial that I do great, but I would like to, because I'm more worried about the final in the class.
Well, we wish you all the luck in that and all the best. Just before we go, one quick thing. Favorite Christmas gift you ever received?
Oh.
I kind of put you on the spot. But.
Oh, man. I would say, oh, geez. So I'm a very functional person. So it's going to be up there with the garden cart that I dump. So I use it for all my landscaping stuff. And the rabbit fur lined hunting hat and my coat with a heater in it.
You have a coat with a heater in it?
I have a self-heating coat with heating coils in it.
That's amazing and vaguely terrifying.
It's pretty
cool. What's the power supply? Do you like have to wear a backpack?
It's a lithium battery. It's right here in the studio with me.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I had no idea.
It weighs a couple pounds, but it's so worth it.
I believe it.
What about you?
The favorite Christmas gift I ever received is about 4 or 5 years ago. Susan, my wife and I, no idea how she does. She has a black belt in gift giving. I mean, she is the Zen master when it comes to this. I don't even compete anymore. I just like, okay, just give me the list because I'm not going off the reservation. She somehow got a collection of space pins from the 1960s.
That is so
from
you.
From the space race? They were Soviet space pins, though. They were from the other side.
That's even more you.
I'm just staring at this like, how in God's name do you find this stuff? I would never have even, I didn't even think to ask just because, you know, at that point, well, while I'm at it, can I have a pony? I mean, you know, you just don't think of that. So
that's really cool.
That it was. So yeah, she is pretty good at that. So Michaeline, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. This is a good discussion to always have. John, thank you for your assistance. I'm Dr. Soren Fanning. That wraps up this week's episode of Upon Further Review. Anthony and I will be back next week, where we will look at the top stories of 2017, provided no one else gets indicted before then. So we'll see you next week.